Hey, you guys, welcome to another episode of the Podcast Manager Show. I am chatting with my friend Angie Trueblood in this episode all about how to pitch your clients to be on podcasts. Angie is the podcast visibility expert and host of the Go Pitch Yourself podcast. With the Podcast Manager Program students, I have found that once they land clients as podcast managers, they often get asked to then pitch their clients to be on other podcasts. Whether or not you're in that situation right now, this episode is going to be a great one to know that this is a service that you can keep in your back pocket or use right away. Okay, let's go talk to Angie. Hey there, I'm Lauren, and you're listening to the Podcast Manager Show, a podcast for podcast managers. Each week, we cover the technical and tactical aspects of running a profitable podcast manager business. With over 90,000 new shows starting each month, podcast managers are in demand. And I'm here to help you land your dream clients while reaching your monthly income goals and without working like crazy. Are you ready? Let's get to today's episode. Hey, Angie, thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Oh, thank you for having me, Lauren.
We love to chat, and I'm so excited that you're here so we can talk about how we can pitch our clients to be on other podcasts.
Yes, this is my sweet spot of what I love to talk about.
So before we jump in, can you tell us a little bit about how you got started in online business?
Yeah, so like most people who have their own online business, it was a bit of a windy road to get here. I worked a traditional corporate based job for years. And then once these two children came along, it shifted my mindset and I just felt really pulled to come home and play a bigger part in their day-to-day life than I was able to when I was working outside of the home. Initially, I transitioned home like many other women with a direct sales company. And as I started to kind of get my feet wet with that, I was listening to podcasts because I'm obsessed with them. And I think I was listening to them when it wasn't even a thing, to where if I told someone I was listening, they literally had no idea what one was. And I started to hear about online business and the benefit that a website could have and how you could create content to draw people to you. So I started to gradually shift the business, so the direct sales business, and add an online component to it. And I started pitching myself for podcast interviews. And I started to really hear from my business friends questions about, well, how did you land that opportunity? Because they weren't pitching themselves. And I was on the local news and they're asking, well, how did you get on the local news? And my answer was always, I just reached out and I gave them an idea of what we could talk about that would be really helpful to their audience. And I started to recognize that not every business owner loves to pitch themselves or other people. And so I eventually just kind of leaned into that space and then transitioned over completely away from the direct sales company and have been in the podcast visibility space for 3 years now.
Yeah, wow. Yeah. So now you focus primarily on pitching your clients to be on other podcasts, and then you also teach this too.
Correct. So there's two arms of the business. The first is the client side, to where we work one-to-one with our clients in a really kind of concierge level way, to where we know the ins and outs of their business goals, and we are making sure that we are positioning them on shows that have the biggest opportunity for them to connect with ideal clients. So that's one side of it. And then earlier this year, I launched the Go Pitch Yourself program, and there's a podcast by the same name. And that is where I work with other business owners and teach them how to pitch themselves for podcast interviews. But there are also women that come into that program who are looking to learn how to pitch their own clients for podcast interviews. So we kind of tackle both of those types of folks in one program. And it's really because if you are a business owner, that's wonderful if you are pitching your clients, but you should also be pitching yourself and be really comfortable with that. So I try to kind of sneak in for a lot of the virtual support professionals that come in. They come in thinking they're going to pitch their clients, and they do, but I also really want to see them kind of shining the light on their expertise.
Yeah, whenever we are so used to being behind the scenes, like you're behind the scenes, I'm behind the scenes working mm-hmm. with my clients, it takes a minute to realize, oh, wait, you know, someone might be interested in what I'm doing behind the scenes.
Yeah, or what I know.
Yeah. Oh my yeah. gosh, you just learn so much so fast being behind the scenes of different businesses. So
yeah, it's insane.
So we know that podcast pitching is actually really hot right now, but why are so many of our clients, why are so many people interested in getting on other podcasts?
Well, specifically right now and in 2020, I think podcasts are very hot, both from a pitching perspective, but also a starting perspective, because a lot of previous ways that we networked or became visible to our ideal clients are just no longer a thing as we navigate through coronavirus. So I think anything virtual at the moment is really hot almost by default. And podcasts are such a great way to do that because you're able to connect with other humans, right? You're not just throwing your own video out into the wild. You're able to connect with other people and have really great conversations that often result in networking opportunities. So I think one, people are more interested in being on other podcasts because of just the nature of where we are. But I mean, we were busy before coronavirus, and it's because people see, especially when you host your own podcast, if you can position yourself in front of someone else's podcast audience, if they fall in love with you, so if you're very strategic with the types of shows that you place yourself on or ask to be placed on, but if you show up in front of your ideal client, the ask for them to follow you back to their podcast is very minimal. I mean, we have clients who have their own podcast and we have clients who don't have their own podcast. The ones that have their own show, I love it because it's such an easy ask to, at the end of the show, really drip through the interview. And then at the end, you say, you know, come listen to me on the Go Pitch Yourself podcast. And if you have that piece of your business optimized, then eventually they will likely come to you and one day might become a paying client. Mm-hmm. So it's just a really low barrier to entry when you're meeting them on a podcast and then you're going to ask them to come over to your podcast.
Yeah. And I see a lot that when someone launches a podcast, you know, they get their podcast up and running and it's a couple months go by and they're feeling good about it. And then they see that opportunity to get on other people's shows. So then they go to their podcast manager and they're like, hey, can you pitch me to be on other shows? But the podcast manager might be like, whoa, whoa, whoa. it's just a skill that feels a little separate from podcast management, but when really it's very succinct, it can be at least. So yeah. That's why I really wanted to have you on, because I get a lot of questions about, you know, what's the best way to go about podcast pitching. So let's say that that happens to mm-hmm. us and our client asks us to pitch. What are some just like starter points that you could give us on getting our clients on podcasts?
Sure. And I would say it is very similar in the sense of the strategy. So for your podcast managers that are helping their clients choose really relevant topics to share with their audience, that's really what pitching is all about, is knowing your client's expertise, also knowing what their business goals are, so that the work that you're doing for them can put them in front of audiences that might help them achieve those business goals. But it really is about crafting their expertise. So your podcast managers already know their client's expertise, and it really is just a matter of being able to shift that to be approachable to other podcast hosts. It's like putting the pieces of a puzzle together. That's how I always envision the work that we do. That's why it's super important to have a strategic piece to you to be really good at podcast pitching, because you want to take the expertise, twist it, so that it's really relevant to the podcast host, so they want to grab onto it and share it with their audience. But then you also want it to be aligned with that audience, so that ideally they will follow you back to whatever your platform is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And I see a lot that people will just kind of want to tell their story. That type of like, your client will like have a great story of maybe if they're like a business coach type of person, then how they started their business. And if that's kind of one of their things that they talk about, you have to transform that into more of a topic that someone could be interested in, because you can't just pitch something vague like my story of how I started a six-figure side hustle. Okay, lots of people have that story. Yeah. And it might be a good one, but just framing it that way is too vague, right?
Totally. So you asked like some of the first steps, and that really is the first step. It would be having a conversation first with your client about, well, what are your goals? I mean, is it just to drive people to your podcast? And that's great if that's what their goal is. And then it really is curating a couple of different talk topics that you can pull from based on whatever show you're going to pitch them to. So we do that with our concierge clients. We typically start with 3 to 5 talk topics. And as we work with them longer, we end up crafting more, just because we might find a show that we need to come up with something a little bit different for. But we have a couple of standard ones. And one of them is actually the journey, because there are a lot of shows out there that are interested in highlighting entrepreneurial journeys or your journey to becoming a fitness expert. You know, like that is something that many shows are interested in. But you have to do your research on the show to know how they highlight their people. So is their show more of a how-to, or is it more of a story show? And really being aware when you're pitching what they're looking for. So one topic is journey. We always craft a how-to. We tend to craft a couple of those based on different pieces of what our clients are experts on that is unique. So we've had plenty of business coaches, but I only take on business coaches that have some level of, there has to be something unique about their expertise or what they offer that we can create really relevant topics around. Because that's the only way you can stand out in a crowd, right? Like you've got to figure out what's different about your client that is going to make another host, likely one you don't even know, say, oh yeah, we'd love to have them on the show. And then we typically will also craft what we call like a mindset pitch, which is really thinking about the client that you're going to serve and what is their obstacle to kind of breaking through. And that's more for shows that might be a bit more woo, which is not my sweet spot, but luckily I have a team. And so we just craft pitches that are a bit more less tactical and more, what are your limiting beliefs? Like, what is stopping you from getting to this next level in business or life? And we'll craft it around that.
Yeah. And obviously, you know that I'm usually on the guest management side. So I'm kind of usually on the other end of that. And so are our listeners. And so I just so appreciate that approach that you would even send multiple topics to someone, sometimes one, sometimes more. And I'll see like, oh, they clearly have like more of a how-to, and then they have a like a mindset one, because then they might not know, okay, what are they really looking for? Are they looking for one that's more like a little inspiring and less, like you said, tactical, or are they going to be looking for a more tactical one?
So I'll let you in on a secret. We don't actually, and you know this from some of the pictures you've seen from us, is we don't send more than one topic, because I feel like it's our job to know that podcast enough to know which angle they tend to cover. Now, we're a little sneaky, because we will put an overall topic. Like, we think this might be a great conversation based on what we know about your listeners, blah, blah, blah. But then we will put a couple of bullet points in there. Like, a conversation on this topic could include any of the following talking points. And sometimes if we're not really sure, we might sneak like a little mindset bullet point in there or a journey bullet point in there. And then we always attach the one sheet, which also has a variety of topics that they could talk to. But I mean, you know, too, there's a lot of very vague pitches going around. And the ones that I choose to read are the ones that have actually done their homework to listen to my show and have an idea of like, oh, I think this topic might be great for your listeners. And it's actually aligned with how I serve my listeners.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah. We could have a whole episode on like the funny pitches that, you know, we talk about that regularly.
I got one yesterday and it was literally just kind of a bio. Like, I think she would be a great guest. Here's what she's done. Would love to know your thoughts. I didn't have any idea what she thought would be a great conversation.
Yeah. There was no why. Like, this is, this person would be great on your show, but there's no, why would they be? They're asking you to do that work.
Right.
Yeah. So, you know, because you and I have spoken so many times, I now will respond to pitches that are there's something I like here, but there's not enough information.
Yep.
And I'll respond to saying, hey, our audience is X, Y, and Z. I really like the sound of your client. Can you tell me what topic she could talk on?
Yes.
Because I just put it back on them. I'm like, okay, you got my attention, but I need more information and I don't want to do all that grunt work. That's your job.
No. So, you're basically like, I'm interested, sell me.
Right, exactly. And to be honest with you, I only hear back like half the time when I do that, which is insane. You're like, I guess it isn't a good fit.
Well, and it just depends like who's doing the pitch. And sometimes they might need to go back to the actual client if it's kind of a third party doing the pitching. I mean, we've definitely have people to where we've pitched a topic. And actually, we have one in our email queue right now that we need to get back on because they're like, we like these two topics. Could you send a couple more bullet points on each so we can figure out which one is a better fit? And I'm totally happy to do that, you know? So it is a good way too to weed out who's really serious about being on that show versus being on a show. Because if you can't clarify why you would be a good fit for that show, then it's likely not going to really serve the audience very well.
And it's to the guest's advantage to know why they want to be on the show. Visibility is great, but if you're not in front of the right people, then you're just kind of wasting everyone's time. So it is important for, you know, the guest, whether it's your client or you or whomever, that you need to know, like, why is this show a good fit for me?
Well, because you need to know the listener, you know, like right now you and I are having a conversation, but my goal is to wrap the listener into it. And I need to know who that is. Before you and I recorded, I was basically asking like, what angle would these folks be interested in podcast pitching? And it really is to better support their clients. So that's where we're focusing our conversation on, which I think a lot of people miss that too.
Yeah. And just with my business, since it's so like a niche of a niche, sometimes I always clarify to people, like the people that are listening are podcast managers. They're not podcasters. A lot of podcast managers like want to start a podcast, but for all intents and purposes, we're podcast managers. And that is hard for some people to understand.
Well, also, you know how hard it is, not how hard it is to start a podcast, but to do it right. I mean, it's time consuming.
That actually brings up a good point. You guys do so much research for these pitches to make them awesome pitches. Like that's why it's so powerful that your clients are hiring you and why our listeners can do this as a service is because there's a lot of research involved and therefore time that your client just does not want to put on their plate.
Totally. And if you're already in the podcasting space, just like your listeners are, you already have kind of a baseline knowledge of how to search for shows and sort of that back end piece that someone coming in cold really wouldn't know. So I feel like your folks definitely have a leg up in being able to support their clients because they can do the research faster. They already know their clients. Like that's the other piece of it is we spend a lot of time on the front end really getting to know our people. I mean, I sent a note to one of our outreach executives who they do the pitching on our client's behalf. And she had a question about a client and a podcast. And I said, and the energy is just a little off because we've had the client for, it's a newer member of our team. And I've been with the client for over a year and I know their energy. And the last thing you want is your client showing up to some podcast interview to where both members are like, looking at their watch, waiting for the time to be over.
Yeah, definitely. And man, yeah, you know how like good you are at this, that you're like able to see just that, like, it's just not going to be a great conversation to listen to.
Yeah.
That's good. So let's talk a little bit about pricing. How can podcast managers like add this to their packages? And how do you recommend pricing?
So I think there's flexibility in how you actually start pricing. But one, you need to kind of connect with your client. It depends too. If the client came to you and said, hey, I'd love you to start pitching me for podcast interviews, or whether it's something that you see as a member of their team could really benefit them. And I think a lot of podcast hosts in the back of their mind are interested in it. So even if your client doesn't say, hey, I would love for you to do this, I think it's worthy enough for you to, if you're interested in kind of stepping into that, to proactively approach them and say, hey, this is something I'm thinking about offering to some clients. I would love to do this for you and maybe have you be a beta tester as an example. So when I first started, I had a package pricing, and we do not price based on how many yeses you'll get. I know there are a couple of agencies out there that you pay a certain amount of money and you're guaranteed a couple of spots. And for me, it's just like media, PR in general. I don't think anyone who's really good at what they do and is really looking to place you in the right space and have conversions can guarantee anything. Your listeners know more than anyone that you can't guarantee, because there's so many variables that are actually in the podcast host wheelhouse. Like when I pitch a client to one of the shows that you manage, I don't know what that content calendar is for the year. Mm-hmm. And so even the topic might be somewhat relevant. They might be booked out for 6 months. I would totally recommend pricing it based on just a package of maybe start just 5 pitches a month, just to kind of get your feet wet, so you have some time to start figuring out a process and a rhythm and see how that feels. I think a lot of times, and a lot of the women that have gone through the Go Pitch Yourself program, who are support professionals who are looking to do this for their clients, they tend to underestimate the amount of time it takes to pitch their clients because there are so many pieces to it. And I think that's another piece, is figure out which parts you are going to be responsible for. Is it going to be strategy on the front end and crafting, you know, their talk topics? Or is that something your client's going to create and then hand over to you? Then there's the pitching, there's the follow-up, and then when you get yeses, there's scheduling. So don't forget, there's pieces on the back end that maybe your client has someone that can handle it, but you've got to think through all of those before you throw out, yeah, I'll do this for $25 a pitch. And then you get into it and you're like, oh my gosh, gravy.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah. It is a lot of work. Just doing all that front end strategy and research is one thing. And you can then use that research maybe on different clients you start to kind of build up a bank.
Yeah.
But there's no guarantee of that. And then just the scheduling and the rescheduling and, you know, possibly sending out an email, you know, of connecting. And there are a lot of moving pieces, which is great for you to be able to take off your client's plate, but you definitely want to charge accordingly.
Yeah. So I would say pressure test it first. I mean, I remember when I started 3 years ago, I was just talking, she's one of my really good friends, and I think her starting package was $297 a month for 10 pitches, which is bananas. I do not recommend doing that. But I didn't know. I didn't know what other people were charging. And I had a mentor at the time who I noticed was charging, I think she was at $1,400 or $1,500 a month. And I was like, that is insane. And, you know, now that's the price point that we're up to. So just know that it ranges. I would say on average, some of the folks that are kind of starting out in this space that don't have a lot of the connections or the processes fleshed out are at a minimum $500 a month. Mm-hmm. Or 10-ish pitches. I wouldn't go anywhere lower than $500 a month, quite candidly, especially if you're handling most of the parts of it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, that's a great recommendation. And to clarify, whenever you say 5 pitches, one thing I've heard before is like asking your client beforehand, how many slots do you want a month? Like, do you want to get on 4 podcasts a month? Is that your goal? Okay, well then I'll probably pitch you 10 times. So do you have a recommendation on that end of how to find that number that you start with?
Yeah. So I think especially for your listeners, because they already have clients, right? They're not necessarily right now looking to acquire clients just for podcast pitching. So getting pretty candid with whoever you're working with and asking them, like, how much space do you actually have in your calendar to record? And then estimating, okay, well, what's going to be my percentage? Like, what's the percentage of acceptances? I know when I started, it was a lot lower than what it is now. But a lot of agencies that are out there shoot for anywhere, it's pretty low, 10 to 20% yeses. So You can do the math on that, obviously. We tend to shoot, if our client acceptance rate is below 30%, something is terribly wrong. And then we try to course correct to our sweet spot is really getting them close to 40%. Mm. If it's over 50, I actually would challenge folks that you're probably not pitching for big enough shows. Like, you just might not be stretching enough. because no one wants a full calendar of shows that are going to put you in front of five people. I mean, yes, I've been on smaller shows, and if they are niched and if they are very engaged, they are my higher converting shows for sure. Mm. But you don't want to just fill up a calendar not knowing, you know, the size. We don't really know the size of the audiences we can gauge, right? But you want to be really respectful of your clients' time too.
Yeah. And before, you were saying that you don't guarantee any yeses. And I love that, because if you did guarantee yeses, you probably would lowball, maybe that's not the right word, but you would pitch podcasts that are, have a smaller audience, yeah, or easier to get on. And that's just like quantity over quality.
Totally. I mean, I just think it changes your mindset. So we're definitely in a space, and I was in sales before I transitioned home and to this business. So I really do have a sales mentality, but it is pressure for me when I look at our clients and yeses versus nos. And there's times, like we had a client last month and her yeses had started to lag. And so I stepped in. I mean, we have outreach executives, but I have a high touch on the strategy, but I was like, well, F, I'm going to pitch. So I sent a couple pitches, we got yeses, and we kind of course corrected. And I think just as a business owner, you do what it takes to deliver for your clients.
Yeah. So speaking of that, what do we do if, let's say we pitched 10 pitches and we thought, you know, we had the strategy, we did the research, we pitched 10 different shows in 1 month and we got zero yeses. What comes to your mind on what we could do? Maybe what could we do pitch-wise, but how do we talk to our clients about that?
Ah, the awkward conversation. First, I would really look at your follow-up system. I would make sure that you are actually following up with the folks that you pitch to. That is where we get the majority of our yeses. It's not after we send that initial pitch. So making sure that you're doing appropriate follow-up. I would also maybe get a second eye on the pitches that you're sending. There might be something that's really standing out in terms of you're really focused on what your client has done that's so amazing, and you might not be quite as focused on how they'll be able to serve the listener. That's typically, there's definitely been pitches that I've received and I want to write back and kind of edit the pitch for them. I don't, but I think that's a really common mistake, because you're so excited to share your client's greatness that you forget to shift it to, hey, actually, she would really serve your audience this way, or she could. We use a lot of statements that are not super aggressive of like, you would be crazy not to have her as a guest. So I think that's the second thing, is to really evaluate the pitch that you're sending. And then also look at the shows that you're pitching to. Sometimes folks starting out will want to pitch their clients to shows that are in the exact same niche as their client. So we have someone as a client who is a sales expert. We actually have two clients who are sales experts, but they're very different from one another with very different talk topics. Mm. I am not pitching either of them to many sales podcasts, because often whoever's hosting a sales podcast is themselves a sales expert. So likely they don't want someone else kind of coming on and stealing their thunder. Mm. And all about collaboration over competition, but just again, in the interest of not wasting your client's time, I would rather pitch our sales experts to niches where they will totally stand out as the sales expert. And a lot of times people are just pitching their business coach client to another business coach podcast host. And typically, I mean, it's almost competitive in nature.
Yeah, oh, that's such a good point. I've read a lot of pitches where the topics that I see that they've listed are literally topics of episodes that we've had, yeah, you know, like how to, you know, attraction marketing, or like some of these broader topics, or fear, how to get past your fear. And it's like, yeah, that's a great topic, but my client speaks on that. So number one, we might not even need that. But number two, you might have contrasting viewpoints on that,
for sure,
you know? So it's like, it's a gamble, yeah, to even, you know, to even go with it. So yes, that's a really good point.
Speaking of like energy and that type of viewpoint, Kendra Hennessy worked with, I won't say us because it was legit me, my first year in business. And she's a host of Mother Like a Boss. And this goes back to knowing your clients. So she does homemaking. Well, she's not a fan of like that whole hot mess mom. And so when I was pitching her to shows in the mom space, I had to be really cognizant of making sure, again, that the energy would match, because I didn't want to place her on a show to where her and the host would have this awkward moment where the host was kind of digging in to being a hot mess mama. And then Kendra was, you know, would be sitting there kind of wondering what to say. So You've just got to do some of the research. And there's definitely times that I question, do we do too much research? But I don't know. I mean, we get a pretty good return rate and our clients, they get conversion results. Like they get clients and new students. So I have to think that we're doing something right.
Oh, for sure. And I mean, your conversion rate of 30% of your pitches are yes, that just goes to show that your research is on point. You're not wasting your time on, once again, you're not quantity over quality, you're quality over quantity.
Correct.
But you bring up a good point of asking our clients before we send out any pitches, like, are there any topics that you don't want to talk about? Or are there any types of podcasts that you don't want to be on? Because one of my clients, she is a mom, has a business as like a, so she's like a mompreneur type, but she's not into fitness. She doesn't want to talk about fitness and she never talks about fitness. So like we'll get pitches from fitness people because they're like, oh, it's a mom show about business. Like, of course they want to talk about working out because, you know, productivity and all of that. And it's always like, no, over in this land, she's like the hot mess type of mom.
Yeah.
She's like, no, I'm not. Don't talk to me about working out.
Love it.
Yeah. You might not know that. So do you guys do that? You ask if there's anything that is just kind of like off the table?
Yeah. And we've actually started, I mean, I feel like 2020 is the year of polarization. And so I definitely am trying to get into the heads of our clients even more to make sure that we're not going to put them on a show to where there's some really important topic that they differ on. I know with a lot of clients, especially in the mom space, right now I feel like we're trending more towards clients that are in like the female business owning space. But even then, conversations about, are you open to being on a Christian podcast? So Are you a Christian? And funny enough, one of my first clients, I had a great show. I mean, she would have been a rock star on it. It was a Christian mom show. And so I voxered her to see if she would be cool with it. She was like, well, I'm actually an atheist. I'm like, good to know. I need to put this on our intake form, apparently. So I think it's important. And I did ask our two new clients last week, kind of, are there any hard no's in the types of shows or even just in sort of the angle that the shows take? Like you mentioned the mompreneur, there's a lot of polarity in, am I a boss mom or a mom boss or, you know, and So being clear on that is really important. So you don't position them and put them in a weird space.
Yeah. How are you handling getting your clients on like more diverse podcasts? So I know that this is really important to you personally. And with 2020, you know, this is top of brain for a lot of us now. So how have you guys changed up things or have you changed up things so that you're reaching more people and it's a lot more diverse?
Yeah. I mean, I will say we're still a work in progress. I was just having a Voxer conversation with my business coach yesterday, and I want us to be a business that attracts diversity and welcomes it. I also know that's really deep work. And I know that I can't just put out some like surface level stock photos on my website or highlight all of the women of color that we've worked with or placed our guests on. And I think that's, it just doesn't feel right for me to do that. So longer term than immediate, I do want to more invest in that so that our team is more diverse, because I actually feel like for us to connect with more diverse shows means that we need to have a team that automatically flexes to thinking of diversity, right? Mm-hmm. So I think that's like the longer term answer, but we're definitely proactively looking for podcasts that are hosted by women of color. I mean, we've definitely had clients before that are women of color, so we can, I won't say lean on them because I don't want to use them to be like, hey, show us all of the podcasts that you know hosted by women of color. But in Apple Podcasts, we can definitely kind of cross-reference some of the shows that we land on and kind of go down that to get a more diverse, and not just with women of color, but a more diversity of views, you know? Mm-hmm. And I do feel like my team, we've got some diversity of views, which I don't know, in 2020, it seems not be tough to manage at all, but you know, I want women with different opinions. And I think that's really important for a business owner to have, but I'll be the first to say, I don't have it all figured out, but I know at least from my podcast, I am proactively looking at who I'm bringing on the show first and foremost are the topics. Like, I want to make sure that the topics serve my clients or mm-hmm. serve my listeners. And then I'm also looking to make sure I'm not just reaching out to my circle, which is what I did at first. My circle tends to be very white at the moment. And so now I'm taking bigger steps to look outside of my immediate circle to make sure that I'm bringing women on who, you know, I have a diverse group of listeners. So mm-hmm. I want them to feel represented in the people that I bring on.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
A long answer.
Yeah, no, it's a tough topic. And yeah. I appreciate that you're willing to talk about it when things aren't perfect. You don't have it all figured out. I certainly don't have it all figured out. But talking about it and showing how, like, okay, this is where I'm at. This is where I want to be. And in us talking through this, I think is helpful for our listeners even.
Yeah, I don't think the solution is just like a quick 1 week evolution in early June. And now you mm-hmm. post a lot of diverse pictures on your Instagram account. Because mm-hmm. that doesn't necessarily mean that your business is welcoming. Like, maybe you're attracting a diverse group of folks to you, but you might not have the foundation set to be able to accept and make them actually feel included. Like, that's the other piece of it.
Yeah, very true. Yeah. There's the attraction piece, but there's also like, are you serving a diverse person?
Yes.
And I think that you saying bringing on team members that come from all different types of diverse backgrounds is so powerful, because then, like you said, you don't have all these people that are just like you. Although it's most comfortable to be surrounded by people that are like you, I also find that whenever I just assume that people that are like me, whatever that means, I just assume that they have the same views as me, when that's not necessarily even true either. Like, we're all different in different ways. So yeah, having people on your team that are diverse, it helps you go beyond your circle, like you're saying.
Yeah. I mean, my coach did say, she said, because the team is relatively small, but we're going through a period of growth. And so at first, that is naturally who you reach out to, right? The mm-hmm. people that you know and love and trust. And so they all quite candidly look like me. But as we start to grow bigger, then I need to do the deep work for our team to be able to have more of a process of reaching into different communities and making sure that our job postings are available and shown to a more diverse group of not just women, I guess, but my podcast manager is a man or podcast editor. So,
yeah, it can be uncomfortable, or it can, you know, take longer. The process of hiring can take longer, but it's obviously worth it. So that's interesting to hear. Okay, so before we wrap it up, I'd love to know, if our listeners start doing podcast pitching for their clients and, you know, they start to get ramped up, what's the first piece that they might outsource from that?
Oh, I like that question. So one of the first pieces that I outsourced was actually the follow-up, because it's not very strategic. You can create sort of a canned template around it. Once you fire off that pitch, you can typically automate a due date being put in whatever project management system you use. You can automate someone sending a follow-up email and then bringing someone in to start doing some of the scheduling, if that's what your listeners are going to take on. So it's almost like you divide it into like admin and strategy. Mm. And so the strategy I held on to for the longest time, and I'm still holding on to pieces of it, but I outsource a lot of the admin. Also, that's not my strength. I'm not great. I can create a system, but I don't love following one, which mm-hmm. I know I have to grow up and do that, but it's better for me to outsource that and then stay in my sweet spot. So it's really also finding out what is your sweet spot, right? As you practice it a couple of times, you'll learn what you hate, what you love, and then I think the outsourcing can come. But the easiest part to outsource really is the admin.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. I was thinking like the research, but the research is strategic. So I like that you bring that up.
I think we're bringing on a researcher for the first time, because what happens is the folks that do the pitching, by the time you've done the research, your brain is just spent, you know? And so I think if we can have someone to support our outreach execs on the front end to help populate, I mean, we have a giant database, but mm-hmm. searching through that is like searching through Google at this point. And so bringing someone on is going to be really helpful to them.
Yeah. Okay. So before we end this, let us know a little bit more about your program, Go Pitch Yourself.
Sure. So the doors will not be opening again until November 2020, but it is a program designed for folks who are looking to pitch themselves or service providers who are looking to pitch their clients. So it's also a really nice community because you have both of those people in one place. And so we're able to learn from each other. The women in the groups that went through in 2020 have been amazing and have gotten incredible results. The beauty is if you can learn to pitch yourself or someone else for a podcast, then you kind of become addicted and you start pitching for YouTube interviews and all of these other things that I never even pictured. And so there's course content, Q&As, there's a lot of support in there. And it's really a time for me to kind of pour into people as they start to better understand the process. So if your listeners are thinking they really do want to start pitching their clients, but they're looking for a bit more support in making that happen, they can check out the program at angietrubla.com/program. And I also have a roadmap to podcast pitching success that they might want to snag. And that's going to be at angietrubla.com/TPMS. So the podcast yes. manager show, but shortened. And they can grab that and it'll kind of give them the 6 steps that are involved to give a little more perspective on if it's something they would even kind of want to step into.
Yeah.
And then tons of free advice over on the podcast that comes out every other week.
Awesome. Yes. And we will make sure that those links are in the show notes so that people can get that free resource or join your program.
Yeah. Awesome.
Thank you so much for coming on, Angie. It's always so good to talk to you. And I know our listeners will find this really helpful.
Great. Thank you, Lauren.
Thanks. Thanks so much for hanging out with me today. Come connect with me over on Instagram at Lauren Wrighton or in the Podcast Manager Mastermind on Facebook. And let me know what you liked about this episode. You can always find the links and resources mentioned in this show over at laurenwrighton.com. Until next time, I'll be cheering you on.